And members, I'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and especially on a Communion Sunday. So we'll have a nice communion set for us following the sermon during the service. Please, the reports that we're getting aren't really even doing justice to the amount of devastation that has been experienced by the western part of our state of North Carolina. We are collecting items for recent flood victims in western North Carolina, and you can bring your donations to the church office through this Thursday, 10:10. There's a list of items needed in the bulletins. Please bring those items to the church, and we'll take them. We were part of an airdrop this week that delivered 788,000 pounds of goods to the people in the area, and I'm here to tell you, as most people would tell you as well, it's a drop in the bucket. There's going to be long-term need for aid to our brothers and sisters up there. And so we just ask for your diligence on this matter, and let's help make and show the light of Jesus Christ through this giving. The garage sale that we had scheduled for this weekend will be rescheduled, but the upside to it not having taken place is we can still receive your goods. Come to Rowan Hall any Tuesday 9 to 11 or Thursday 1 to 3. If you have any questions, see Jeannie McClure or Susie McClure. Our Cook's Cares cooking class will be today at 3 o'clock. We know what we're going to do. It's going to be chicken parmesan. So if you want to learn how to make a real good and quick chicken parm, this is the night for you. I'm not going to make the sauce. I'm going to use some bought sauce. But I showed you how to make the sauce a couple of months ago, so I feel okay about that. All adults are also invited to attend our Bible study that meets every Sunday at 6 o'clock, including tonight here in the sanctuary. Our newest topic that we're studying is called Thrive Living on Purpose. The Cook's Presbyterian Women invites all ladies to join them at their monthly circle meetings this Tuesday, October 8th. The morning circle meets at 10:30 a.m. in room 113, and the evening circle meets at 7 p.m. in room 113. Please see Petey Self with any questions. Our community meal will be held this Thursday, and the plan and the expectation is we'll be holding it here, but we do not know whether it will be, well, we do know now. It's drive-thru only, yeah, for the meal. Drive-thru, or are we in the building?
We're in the building.
Okay, easy peasy. Well, we rejoice and bring back our community meal to our fellowship hall. I hope to see everybody this coming Thursday between 5 and 6:30. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of Melva Thompson, Curtis Thompson, Jack Crosby, and T.C. Thompson by Pam and Marty Crosby and family. Those are the announcements I have. We have a mission focus from Fred Cox on Operation North State.
If there's a person living in the Southeast that's heart is not broken over this widespread damage from Hurricane Helene, then that person should examine their own heart for real. Our hearts are so heavy for these victims and their families right now. And I know y'all have been in deep prayer about this situation. And church, we want to thank you for bringing so many goods up here this past week, with only a day and a half's notice. But we have a real opportunity, and how this came about, I want to share it with you real quick. Marty and Pam Crosby's son-in-law works for a guy that who has started his own project to get these goods up to the mountains, and he has the means to do it. He owns 3 helicopters and 2 airplanes, so we're so blessed. And Marty told me Friday that he's asking people now to take red spray paint, and if there's a piece of land that's big enough to land a chopper, to take red spray paint and paint a big circle and put an X in the middle of it. To these rural areas, that's who he's reaching out to, which is so cool. And you know, he sees these circles and X's, and he makes a drop there and gets to the places where other folks can't get. And so this collection this week, again, you get it to the church, we'll make sure it gets to the collection zone and get to the people. So I wanted to talk just for a minute about Operation North State. Operation North State is a 501c3 nonprofit, all volunteer, veteran service support organization. They organize and provide recreational outings for North Carolina wounded warriors, disabled vets, and veterans in need, and our National Guard service members. This year, they were planning on 51 different projects for our vets, and they expected to host around 200 recreational outings this year. And we're talking about fishing trips and golf outings and cycling and going to visit state parks and things like that. And for the disabled vets, shut-in vets, and veterans in need, Operation North State also delivers Christmas boxes to these folks every year. And that's where we come in, and we do this every year. And and they've done this ever since 2010 when the organization was first developed, and we've helped ever since 2011. So this is something we do every year. And even though we're sharing Jesus' love by supporting our hurricane victims as a top priority, because they're so desperate, we want to continue to shine the Lord's light on the veterans and the shut-in heroes that we have. So Operation North State utilizes North Carolina's people, places, products, and pride to provide a Christmas gift and a show of appreciation for our shut-in veterans. The Christmas Box Project slogan has been, North Carolina, this is your box. Lend a hand if you can. And all these goods collected through the collection box drives will be added to the NC Cares Christmas boxes. It's a fun and heartfelt project, and you can help with the drive by donating items requested or cash to support the project, and that starts next Sunday. And just watch the newsletter for exact dates, because we'll have to collect them in early November. So it usually lasts about a month. And what we'll do, we'll put a box in the Narthex and the Education Building lobby like we always do. But let me tell you, what the vets cherish the most, believe it or not, is Christmas cards, especially if you have a child in the family that can write something sweet on a Christmas card. So that's what they look forward to the most. So if someone wants to take this part on as an addition to the items we collect, that would be great. And their website is Operation North State, that's with two N's, .com. And they're very easy to find on Facebook, too. So, and Dale, you mentioned last Sunday that that they're also playing a role in the disaster relief efforts. Okay. That's great. Okay, and that's under the Operation North State. That's what they're doing. See, I didn't know. I appreciate that report. That's great. So the bottom line is we love our veterans and we love our people in need throughout the Southeast. So thank you in advance for your support.
Savior Jesus Christ.
Bang. Bang. Hey, y'all. Once we were strangers and far from God's promises. He He has torn down the walls that divide us. Let us come together as fellow citizens of God's kingdom. Thanks, y'all.
Let us continue in prayer. Gracious and eternal God, we gather in awe of your power and in gratitude for your mercy. We come before you as those who were once far off, strangers to your promises, but by the blood of Christ we have been brought near. You've torn down every dividing wall and made us one in him. O Lord, how good and pleasant it is when your people dwell together in unity. We give thanks that through Jesus you have not only reconciled us to yourself, but to one another. You have called us your children, made us fellow citizens with the saints, and built us into a dwelling place for your Spirit. Today we ask that your peace and your presence fill this sanctuary. Let your Spirit move among us, knitting our hearts together in love and in faith. As we hear your word, may it transform us that we may live as people of peace, grace, and unity. In Christ, our cornerstone, may we be built upon you as your holy temple. Bless this time of worship, Lord, and open our hearts to receive your truth, to celebrate your goodness, and most especially, Father God, to proclaim your glory. We make these prayers to you in the strong and holy and everlasting name of Jesus Christ, who is our peace and our hope. In his name we pray. Amen. I invite you to rise now and sing our first hymn with the words on the screen.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall
of it this morning in Sunday school, but the fact remains that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is righteous and just, will cleanse us of our sin and remove from us any and all unrighteousness. So it's with humility and it's with faith that we come together and pray this prayer of confession, recognizing that it rights our souls by the power of the Holy Spirit. Join me as we pray using the words in this morning's bulletin. Gracious God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us for what we have done and for what we have left undone. In your mercy, renew us and guide us that we may walk in your ways and bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful truth. By the waters of our baptism, our sin has been washed away, completely carried off by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He is our reconciliation. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And friends, rejoice, for in him we have forgiveness of our sins this day and forever. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. We believe in song.
We believe.
Be seated, and at this time we'd like to invite the kids and youth to come forward for a time that's just for them. Hello, everybody. Hey, guys, how are you? Do you want me to put this down on the ground? There we go. That gives me more room to sit, too. That's what you call a win-win, right? Hey, what's up, Hayden? You doing okay? You know what never ceases to amaze me?
What?
I didn't set that up. I really didn't. What never ceases to amaze me, as you guys used to, maybe did or did not know, I used to be a chef. I wasn't always a pastor. I used to be a chef. And I managed a Starbucks for a little while. I kicked around. Yeah, you know, we had some fun, didn't we? But the fact of the matter is, it never ceases to amaze me that with just a simple couple of ingredients, you can put together a thing of bread. Bread is, believe it or not, do you guys know the two and maybe three ingredients? Yeast is in leavened breads. Yeah, that's one of them.
Flour.
And a water, usually liquid. And that's it. You can make bread. And people around the world make breads in different ways. And today is World Communion Sunday. And one of the things that we remember is that as we break this bread and drink in this cup, we do so with believers all over the world. And we typically use one type of bread, but there are all sorts of breads, and I thought I would introduce you to them, some of them, along with where they are on the globe. So now this is going to really test me, right? Does anybody tell me what this is? It's a tortilla. It's a tortilla. Tortillas are unleavened bread. They do not have yeast in them. They are simply flour and water. What about this? It's a pretzel loaf, actually, and that comes from a little place over here called, well, that's not right. Aha, Germany. So, Germany. What do you have against Germany? Oh, yeah. Okay, and this is a great one, right? This is a bread called challah. Can you say that? Let's really try to get it to the Jewish way. Challah. That's it. That's how you say it. It's a saffron bread that's made primarily by Jewish people, and they use it to celebrate special occasions like Purim and others. But you know what's amazing to me is that there are all these different kinds of breads and the same kinds of ingredients. And you know what it makes us aware of? Is that there are all sorts of people that are made up of the same ingredients, just blood and flesh and bone and sinew. And we put together, God puts us together. But what does he do? Does he put us together in a unique way? Yeah, he does. We're all unique and blessed by God. And he loves us in our uniqueness. Just like there are many breads, there's many types of people. And you're a unique one that is beloved by God. And today as we celebrate unity. Unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to be eating different kinds of bread today. And guess what, kids? In today's communion baskets are all different types of bread. So as you get the chance to take in this Lord's communion, you can deliberately sample one of the other breads and participate in that way, in a special way, bonding you with brothers and sisters around the globe. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for bread. As we thank you for people. Bless all of us today in communion.
Bless all of us today in communion.
And allow us to keep your word.
And allow us to keep your word.
In Christ's name we pray.
In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Forgive us for the things that do you wrong. When we're weak because we think we're strong. Save us from us.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, speak to us now afresh by your Holy Spirit. Open our minds and our ears so that our hearts may be softened to find in us the love we have for you as well as the love that you share with us to share with other people. Enable this time to bring about a change in our heart and in our attitudes toward others so that we might break down the dividing walls that exist between whomever, or between ourselves and whomever. For it is with glory that the people of God live in unity. Let us make these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 133. Please follow along with me. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. Life evermore.
I continue this week on a sermon series based on Ephesians with the idea of really explicating the many facets of grace that sometimes we overlook. Certainly, we know of grace as unmerited favor that we receive from God, the being able to be viewed as righteous, even though we are not, through the lens of our Savior Jesus Christ. Today, the point and the aim is to talk about grace as a commodity that Christ shares with us, designed to create unity. We all come into seasons of difficulty with other people, and it's important that we hear the deep wisdom of the Bible for us in order to handle those conflicts when they arise. And Ephesians gives us a great way to do that because Paul was ministering to a divided congregation. Now, remember, in Ephesus, there would have been both Gentile and Jewish believers of Jesus Christ early on. And in that, there was a friction, a dividing line, a hostility, a wall that existed between believers, even though they were both for Jesus. And it was of ultimate and paramount importance to Paul that these two sides be grafted into one unified body of Christ. And to that end, he spends effort in Ephesians pointing them to the unity that should exist among believers in Jesus Christ. To that end, we read not Ephesians 22. Unfortunately, that was a little typo on my part. Ephesians 2, I read verses 11 through 22. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Conflict can come into our lives more rapidly than we think. Sometimes we can be sitting just at home, minding our own business, and a phone call or something comes in, or even an unpleasing sports score comes into our world, and soon we're at conflict with someone else or with the world in general. And as we know, when we're in conflict with other individuals, it tends to make our life miserable. And as a consequence, we tend to make the people's lives around us miserable as well when we're out of sorts with someone and ourselves. And it's the kind of thing that keeps us up at night. We go to lay down our heads on a very calm and peaceful day and instead find ourselves rehashing the drama that's been surrounding the conflict. You know, last week I told you about two sisters, unfortunately, that were divided later in life by a lottery winning. And the two ladies fought with each other and saw the ultimate prize go not to themselves, either one of them, but instead to lawyers. And the two passed on hostile terms with one another. It was a sad story that reminds us that sometimes hostilities can encrust and lead us to make truly terrible decisions. This week I tell you a different kind of story, a story from history. Now, when Abraham Lincoln was first elected president, there was a man by the name of Edwin Stanton who didn't think very highly of him. And at the time, Edwin Stanton, before Abraham Lincoln assumed the presidency, had made numerous comments negative toward Abraham Lincoln. So it was a great surprise for a good number of people when Abraham Lincoln somehow managed to put Edwin Stanton in his cabinet as Secretary of War. The two were at first hostile toward one another, still fighting over the things of the past. But as we all know, the nation got subsumed into a civil war, and Stanton's job became more and more essential to the survival of the Union. And thankfully, the two men, Abraham Lincoln and Edward Stanton, were able to break down the walls of that divided them and forge together a union of individuals that helped guide the Union through the dark days of the Civil War. It was a good way to point out that even deep-seated hostility or bad feelings toward another can be managed and assuaged if the intent is right. Now remember, Paul was working with a very divided congregation, these people that were at hostility with one another, and sometimes that helps us remember that we can all too easily be in conflict with somebody else. It can happen. It happens in marriages. It happens in friendships. It happens in business relationships. It happens. And unless you want to be constantly awake or constantly agitated, then it stands to reason that the Bible needs to provide us some wisdom on what we can do when we come into a time of conflict. And thankfully, this particular passage does that. The first step in any type of conflict resolution, the first step you want to take is one of deep and reflective self-examination. Now you think, well, wait a second, hold on. If I have a problem with another person, why are you asking me to look at myself? Well, hear what Paul says to us in Ephesians. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in this world. What Paul is gently pointing the Ephesian Christians to an awareness of is that they are sinners as well. This is the first step in managing a conflict, is to be apprised that the conflict is not nearly probably as black and white as you want to make it to be. Now remember, why is that? We all fall short of the glory of God. That is, we are all sinners, and that necessarily means that in our sin we're not perfect. And when we're not perfect, we can contribute to a situation that leads to hostility. I remember humorously one from my past when I was in middle school. I had borrowed $20 from my friend Colby Sims in a movie theater for reasons I think were probably related to playing Defender, right? The video game. And anyway, for whatever reason, I just didn't have the intent to pay him back. And he would ask me, you know, Jason, where's my $20? And I would give him some excuse and go on with my day, never worrying about it. Well, one day, this was a lifelong friend of mine. One day, I told him I didn't have it, and boom, he punched me in the stomach, right? I thought it was a little harsh, right? But, now, what you wonder, now, did Colby wander off into the recesses of my life? No, believe it or not, Colby is still in my phone, saved as a friend. We don't talk that terribly often, but we do talk, and we are still friends. What happened? Well, we both kind of separated from the situation. I, for some reason, was aware that I actually had $20 that I should pay him and did, and that cleared it up. And he made an amend to me as well. And we, like I said, we've been friends ever since. But it did take for me that awareness after I got punched to say, what part did I have in this event that led to this outcome? That's the question we've got to ask ourselves when we come into hostility with other people. Remembering what Paul says in Ephesians, we've got to look at our actions, our conducts, and our behavior, thinking of ourselves not as the good guy, but maybe as the bad guy. That takes work and takes practice, and it may not be something you do very easily. I can recall many a times and many a loggerheads where it required me talking with somebody else for me to see my part in the equation, to see where I had gone wrong. But sometimes a good friend will help you do that because they will share with you the truths that you don't sometimes want to hear. And sometimes those truths are what set us free from the conflict. So when you come into a conflict, the first step you want to take is examine your own conduct and behavior, seeking to find the places where you contributed to the drama. This is good and standard practice for Christians because we know, as we said, none of us are perfect. All of our stuff stinks to some degree, and we need to remember that when we're in conflict with another person. The second part gets even harder. The second part requires that we actively listen to the people who have done us wrong. Why? Well, because the Bible mentions that we're to look not at our own, not at the other person's wrongdoings, but our own. And I read to you from Matthew chapter 7 from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this: "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." It is godly advice. It's best to consider a perspective other than your own as you come in. And then to the second part, which is much more difficult. It requires listening, active listening. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians: Jesus Christ is himself our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. What Paul is saying is that Christ's entrance into the world is the marker by which we should seek out peace and reconciliation with others, because God has sought out peace and reconciliation with us through his Son. We have a mandate to be unified with one another. And so when you come into a conflict and you've already examined your own shortfalls and shortcomings, the next step is the hardest of all. It's to arrange a time with the person to talk with them and ask them how they have experienced the conflict. This is tough stuff, tough sledding. The key here is to keep your mouth quiet. Just to listen and hear how the other person has experienced the trauma or the conflict is vital to helping us forge a solution. You've considered your own shortcomings, and now as you talk and listen, you find out more data. We have a saying in Kairos that really directs us, and one that I think puts us on the mark in this occasion as well. And it's simply listen, listen, love, love. As you sit there, allow yourself to hear the other person's sadness and remorse over the incident. Allow yourself to hear where maybe they experienced you doing wrong in a way that you hadn't quite anticipated. But in that space, you will find good reason for unity, because the Bible suggests unity in all things and in all ways. Romans 12:18 says this: "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." This is important for us to do. And James 1:19 says this: "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." So as you talk, really listen to the harm you've caused. While it may be minor compared to the injury you've received, accept it as it is, as harm that you've done. Not maybe intentionally, but perhaps unintentionally. But allow yourself to hear and feel and experience what another person has gone through as the means by which you make reconciliation. And the third is to work together at a common solution. This is just basic, simple compromise. Finding the way forward requires admitting the past and looking for a way forward. And that's exactly what you're to do. There's a great story in the Bible about this. Do you remember Jacob and Esau, two twin brothers who were fighting while they were even in the womb? Well, Jacob, as we all know, is a little bit of a trickster and a huckster. And what does he end up doing? He ends up cheating Esau, the much bigger, burlier, meaner brother, of his birthright and his blessing. Two very distinct things that you would want in the ancient Near East from your father. He steals them both from his brother. So needless to say, the two are at odds for years. And Esau is angry and wants to kill Jacob very much. But as we all know, Jacob is on his course and has a meeting at the Jabbok Ford where he wrestles with God, his pride and his arrogance decimated. Jacob becomes a new man, even takes on a new name, Israel. But this new man that's been changed by his experience with God approached his brother in a completely different way. He bowed 7 times before his brother, before the two even spoke. It was a gesture of deep humility, a deep awareness of the wrongs that he had done. And then comes the moment of truth. When Esau rises up, perhaps with anger, we see it dissipate, and the two brothers hug. It's an amazing reconciliation of love wrought by God through a reconciliation process. As Paul teaches us in Ephesians, grace is much more than just the unmerited favor we receive from God. Grace is also the power that unifies us to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do we need to be unified? Well, I think we've got a real good reason right now in front of us. We need to be unified in order to support our brothers and sisters in the western part of the state. Their care and needs will be upon us for some time to come. And we will be the people that bear those burdens because we love Jesus Christ, because we're unified in heart, mind, body, and soul with our Lord and Savior. We will make a difference in this world to the glory of God because we're unified. The dividing walls between us have been completely removed, and that we are all living and loving our God and one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We come now into a special time, a time of communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, what a blessing over these past several weeks that we've had to experience the blessing of the sacrament of baptism, not once, but twice. And now we come to the Lord's table on a World Communion Sunday when we're reminded that we're joined together with believers both near and far by this meal. This is the Lord's table. He himself has invited us to it. And so we come to it with reverence and respect. We come to it reconciled to our brothers by the word of God. We come to it to find peace. We come to it to find our connection with God Almighty. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, our Lord and our God, creator and ruler of the universe, in your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way. Then, in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and to heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of angels and with prophets, apostles, and martyrs. We make these prayers to you. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and the needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious act in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and juice, that as we break bread and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we might be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in this world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose and keep us all faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever, concluding with the prayer you taught us praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread, giving it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Friends, every time we eat of this loaf and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again in glory. So I invite you now, friends, come forward and enjoy the feast that the Lord has prepared. bread of life. This is the 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 bread of life. Friends, this is the cup of salvation. 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 The cup of salvation. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have fed us both spiritually and physically in this sacrament. Bless us now with the assurance of your Son's life, death, and resurrection, what that means for us as well as all who believe. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We come now to a time of prayer as we lift up to the Lord the things that weigh upon our hearts. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our hearts are broken with what's going on in the western part of our state and what's going on locally for those who've been wiped out due to this flood. Father God, we understand your sovereign will, and we recognize, Father God, that there is suffering now, and now comes our turn to help. So, Father God, enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be a reconciling and loving force for all those involved. We think especially of Andy Self, who finds himself overcome by all that's going on in the area. So we pray for him. We pray especially for the members of our congregation who are struggling with sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. And we think today of Jack and Jeannie McClure. We think of Charlie McCrary. We pray for Ronnie Peterson and Ellen Jackson. We pray for Sharon Gilmore. And we especially pray for Nancy Smith, Father God. Be with all of these, especially those who are hospitalized, providing care, lifting up their spirits to you, Father God. We make all our prayers for the flood victims of Hurricane Helene and many others in the need of our area, in need of our intercessory prayers. We make all these prayers to you, God, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of Jesus Christ. It was he who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Saying the Lord's Prayer twice in a service is okay, all right? We come now into a time of reflection over the sermon and a chance for electronic or online giving. Please rise. We close our service now with the awareness that we're joined in a special way through this sacrament of communion with brothers and sisters around the globe and in our local community. So rejoice and celebrate today. Find your hope and your joy in Jesus Christ. Today the prayer room will be open after I greet our guests. So if you have a prayer request, just wait for a few minutes and I'll be back in. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks, God. It's good to see you, brother. Hey, good, man. How are you?
Good. I won't be around Wednesday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At least two or three Wednesdays, so we're going to go back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Dancing shoes.